Are you ready? Change your perspective. Change our perspective. How do you look at things? What's going on in your mind? What's going on in your life? This is what I put this in my notes this morning, just a little aside. Sometimes our knower, that's the things we know. Our knower is broke. We've allowed ourselves to get a broken knower. We don't know things anymore because we don't study. We don't understand what's going on. We don't understand God's doing a mighty work. Sometimes we misunderstand things. Sometimes we don't see a way through. We don't see the way through because our eyes are blinded. Sometimes things are blocking our view. Sometimes we don't see clearly because there's things, say things, that we have allowed in our life that's blocking our view from what we... Sometimes we just allow stuff in our life. We allow things in our home. We allow things in our family that if we see it in somebody else's life, we say, oh, I can't believe they're doing that. We've allowed things to block our view. This is an important statement right here. I'm fixing to say, can we see victory? Can we see the victory, or do we just see defeat? Are we always looking for the things that don't work out right? The things that, well, gosh, Lord, I thought you was going to, I didn't think I'd have to. But sometimes we have to go through some things to get to where we need to be. Looking around the world, I see so many things in chaos and people having all kind of problems and out of control and crazy things are happening. The devil's at work. How many of you know the devil's at work? He's been at work for a long time. In case you didn't know it, it's not getting worse. Oh, yes, it is. Of course, the scripture says it in 2 Timothy 3:13. It says it grows worse and worse until the end is coming. I heard these words over and over and over again. Sometimes people say this, I just can't take it anymore. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever said this? I just can't take this anymore. I just don't understand. Here's a word from the Lord for about a dozen people in here this morning that you've been thinking these thoughts and you've been frustrated. You don't understand what's going on. Watch this. You ready? Thus saith the Lord, let it go. Say, let it go. Now raise both hands. Say, Lord, help me let it go. Sometimes we need a little help, huh? We want to hang on to stuff and drag it with us and carry it and say, oh, I can't believe how tough life is. And I'm here to tell you that God's telling you right now, right now today, let it go. You're carrying a weight that you've never meant to carry. But too many of us are carrying it. We get caught up in looking around and we can't. Well, I want to read something for you. How many of you ever heard the Apostles' Creed? All right, listen to this. What do I believe? I believe in God the Father, the Almighty Creator, heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, is the Son of the Lord God Almighty, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born by a Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. And he descended into hell. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he sits right now on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come. He'll come back to judge the living and the dead. I believe that the Holy Spirit, I believe in the body of Christ, I believe in the holy communion of the saints, I believe in the forgiveness of sin, I believe in the resurrection of the body, I believe in life eternal. Can you say amen? I'm here to tell you it's time for us to rise up and understand what we truly believe. What do we believe? If we truly believe these principles, I'm here to tell you, we won't do some of the things we've been doing. We won't we'll start understanding that God calls us to a higher level, say a higher level. And we have settled for such a lower standard of living because we're thinking it's fun, or we're thinking we're just, well, you know, this is just, I just got to vent. I just got to do what I need to do. Well, The word says this: there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end, leads to death. I'm here to tell you, don't allow the devil to deceive you. Don't allow yourself to fall into the same old trap, the same old stuff over and over again. Mark 9:22 says it like this. A man was asking Jesus, he was wanting his son to be healed. And he said, but if you can believe, but if you can do anything. Now, this is a man that had his son that was demon possessed, having problems. He had all kind of issues and he was throwing himself in the fire. And he comes up to Jesus and he says, if. Now, he's talking to Jesus. If you can do anything. Sometimes that's where we struggle, is because we don't understand that God can do everything. But we say, Lord, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if, probably was like, what is wrong with you? If you can believe, see, God turns it right back around. You see, because too many of us want to just whine about life. We just want to whine and complain. And the Lord says, wait just a minute. You got the problem wrong. You got a problem here. You're misunderstanding who I am. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, Lord, with tears, I believe. I love this statement because this makes me feel good. It makes me realize that, you know what, sometimes I struggle. How many here ever struggle? It says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. How many of you ever have trouble believing things? So it's time for us to, when we get to that point, when the devil tries to deceive you and make you think, I don't know, then it's time for us to cry out for help. Say, Holy Spirit, help me to understand. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. How many of us need some help? Anybody here? Come on, say, Holy Spirit, help! In this scripture, right after he finished healing this guy, he tells him, now listen to this, because he was wondering why the disciples couldn't heal him. And he said, let me explain something to you. This kind comes out by fasting and praying. Now, I was talking to somebody this morning about fasting and praying, and I was like trying to let them realize, guess what? Fasting is not twisting God's arm and saying, look what I'm doing, Lord, I'm fasting. It's not about trying to do something religious. It's not about trying to have a ritual of, well, I must fast and pray once a week. No, it's about understanding that fasting is denying self. That's what fasting is about. Somebody said, well, what? You know, sometimes I'll struggle. I don't understand this fasting. Well, what do you do? What are you going to fast to give up, to give time, say time, to pray? You see, that's what your fasting is about. It's about also cleansing the flesh, understanding, weakening the flesh. When I am weak, he is, come on, when I am weak, he is, yeah, he's stronger. So that's the point of fasting. And the scripture right here, he says, hey, sometimes you get caught up in doing all of the things you're doing, but you're not realizing that you're just doing it in your own strength. In your own strength? Did we hear that a little earlier? And that's why we're failing. And that's why we're struggling. That's why we don't understand. We're trying to figure this out. And God says, listen to me. Just say, follow me. Follow me. The Lord's saying, follow him. Follow him. Don't get caught up in trying to do with other people. Many times I forget that I'm in a battle daily. Sometimes in living life, we just don't realize that this is truly a battle. There's a spiritual battle going on each and every day. I was talking to somebody last week at the end of service, and we were talking about demonic spirits and how they try to destroy people. And I said, yeah, there's a few in here right now. And they went, what? In the church, right here, sitting right next to, no, not him. No, I'm talking about a spiritual demonic activity that's happening all over the place. We live in a world that is full of stuff. And we have to keep the mindset. When the enemy comes in, when he attacks us, when he comes after us, we have to realize that we are in a battle. And it's not against that person that offended you or that person that did something to make you mad. Do you realize it's a spiritual battle? Do you realize that demons can use pastors to offend you? Oh, do you realize that the demons can use your spouse to make you mad? The demons can corrupt your perception. Say, my perception. You see, because sometimes we don't perceive the right things. Sometimes perceiving is just a different way of seeing something. It's the way we see something. I perceive that you're a prophet, said the woman at the well to the Lord. Oh, I get it. Many times I forget that we're in a battle just trying to live life. Often, I just want everything to go right. Anybody ever feel like you just want it to start doing right? You just want everything to start working out right. How many of you know it's not going to happen? Oh, you might get a couple of good days. Everything, but the problem is what our perception is what's right. What our perception is what we want, we think is right. But maybe, just maybe, that's not God's will for our life. Do we realize that the battle's going on right now, right here? Do we just need to go ahead and find out what God wants us to do and follow Him, no matter where? Oh, but Lord, I don't want to do that. Okay, He's going to bring you through something. Sooner or later, you're going to get through it. Satan wants to mess up your life. Do you know he's here to kill, steal, and destroy? Do you know he's here to just destroy, take away from God, what God wants? There is not any utopia here on planet Earth. You don't have, everything's wonderful, hallelujah. As long as we're living life on planet Earth until the day of Jesus. Oh, I must pray and I must fast. Yeah, you're right. We need to pray and we need to fast and we need to get some attention. We need to get some vision. We need to get some understanding. We need to get some perception. We need to change the way we perceive life should be to the way it really is. Quit trying to think that everything is wonderful. It's not. Not all the time. You're going to go through, say through, some hard things. I must change my perception. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. While we do not look at the things which we see, but the things which are not seen. Say not seen. You see, that's what I'm talking about. You see, too many of us are looking at just the stuff that we see, the things, and we can't. Well, how come? What? And you know, Lord, if you do this for me, then I will. Uh-oh, you're in a dangerous place. I'll just leave that alone. What are you looking for? Are you looking for your will to be done or God's will to be done? For the things which are seen are temporal. Oh, there's a lot of folks living today just for today. Oh, if I could just get one more boat, if I could get one more motorbike, if I could just get a bigger house, a better house, better yard. How many of you don't want to live in the swamp no more? You're tired of the rain. I got boots outside my back door. Every time we go out now, I just put the boots on. I'm going in. It's a mess. Aren't you glad for the sunshine? Hallelujah. I'm tired of raining. I told my son just left to go back to Texas last week. I said, you know what? I just hope it stays sunshine the rest of the year. I'm good with that. Well, you know, there's just things do happen. Okay. Many of us are not seeing. Say not seeing. Many of us are not seeing God at work. We're not seeing how He works. Sometimes we go through situations and we say, that can't be God. Yeah, it can be. He'll bring you through some stuff. But because we're only looking for something that we want, we're not seeing what God's doing because we're looking for the things we think God should do for us. Hallelujah. Lord, I need this and I need that and I need this. And Lord, I want none. But how many of you know you go through some situations because we're looking at the things we want. We don't see what God's really doing. So back up. Watch this. I've seen this joke on some comedian doing a thing about men and women. And he says, the man goes to the refrigerator and he opens the door on the refrigerator. And he's looking for the butter. How many of y'all ever opened up the refrigerator and looking for something? You open up the refrigerator and he's looking for the butter. And he says, I don't see it. Well, honey, where's the butter? The joke is, she said, take two steps back. So he took two steps back and there's the butter right in the front. Oh, there it is. His perception. He opened up the refrigerator and he's looking all over. I don't see the butter. Where's the butter? Right? He was looking. Sometimes we're looking too close to what we want to see. Take a step back. Take another step back. Examine your life. Look to where you used to be. Look where you are. Oh, my goodness. If you've given your life to Christ in the last year or so, or week even, you can look back and say, wow, I'm not the same as I used to be. I won't look back anymore. I've closed the door. I love that song. I'm not who I used to be. Thank you, Jesus. Can you just say thank you, Jesus, that you're not who you used to be? Wow, what a mighty God we serve. Back up. Carol and I often look back and seen our lives and we said, you know what? I'm so glad that we decided to start following Jesus. So many of our friends, even the ones that were in church, are now divorced or having troubles and they're struggling. Now, did Carol and I ever have troubles and struggle? You betcha. It's a good thing she's really forgiven. No, no matter who you are, there's people right now that won't get married because they're scared. Well, we'll just live together for the next 20 years. Hallelujah. That way we're no commitment. No commitment. I ain't going to sign no paper. Who needs a piece of paper? We're married in God's eyes. Hallelujah. It sounds funny, don't it? Carol and I often look back and said, you know what? We made a commitment to each other. No matter high nor low, nor up nor down, nor in or out, we're going to love each other because we decided to follow Jesus. We decided to love one another. Amen? Can you say amen? 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore, do not lose hearts. Huh? My goodness. I'm going to slow down real quick right here. Because this is another word for some folks. The Lord told me to make sure that I point out some things that He wants to say to some people. So listen up. If this is you and the Lord speaking to your heart, listen up. Don't lose heart. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Even though. Our outward man is perishing. You might be going through some terminal situations. But don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. For yet, the inward man is being renewed. Say renewed. Oh, day by day. Day by day. Renewed. The Lord wants to speak to somebody here right now today. And He says, today is your day. He's going to renew a spirit inside of you. He's going to restore the years that the cankerworm took away. He's going to restore to you the joy of the Lord. Say amen if that's you. How many of you need some joy in your life? For this light affliction, what is but for a moment, is, watch what this says. For this light affliction, but which is but for a moment, is working for us. Say me. Do you know that when God brings you through a tough time, a hard situation, sometimes we're, say, hard-headed. And look, no, don't tell him. But sometimes we're hard-headed. And the Lord says, you know what? Sometimes I got to get through to you. So if you're hard-headed and I got to get through to you, I'm going to bring you through some hard times. And the harder-headed we are, the harder things we got to go through. Uh-oh. Did you just say that? Do you right? You see, because we got to learn. Don't just keep doing the same old thing and expecting different results. You know, it's insanity, they call it. God is working in you. Watch this. Why is He working in you? For far and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. That means God's got a whole lot more that's much better than you could ever imagine or ask or seek. How many of you know God's got a plan? And it's much, much better than yours. Come on, God. Say, come on, God. How many of you know He's got something for you? Say amen. Amen. Raise both hands. Say amen. Amen. Okay, now you raise both hands. You told God you know it. He's got something for you. So now who's accountable for it? I'll just move on. Are we hearing? Listen to me real clear. Are we hearing what God is saying to us today? Do we hear what He's saying? What is He saying? Wake up. Wake up, pay attention, listen. Because God is speaking to His church. He's bringing us to a place of understanding. He's bringing us, how many of you ready for some victory? Oh, victory, victory shall be mine. Is it yours? Come on, say victory one time. God can get our attention and He's fixing our knower. He's got some repair work to do because many of us struggle with our knower because our knower has been broken. And now we're starting to understand that God is fixing our knower. What do we know? Why do we know it? Why do we believe? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Well, you know, I just don't want to go to hell. Well, that's a pretty good reason. But I'm here to tell you that if you just don't want to go to hell, if you just want your fire insurance policy stamp when you come to church, that's all you're going to get. I'm here to tell you that, guess what? There's a life and a life more abundantly awaiting each and every one of us. As we strive, as we live, as we follow Jesus, as we say, Lord, show me. Lord, I've been messing up. I've been making mistakes. How many of you made a few mistakes? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. Don't tell me about what other people's doing wrong. I don't want to know. If God wants me to know, how many of you know He's going to reveal it? How many of you know He reveals to you exactly what you're doing wrong? Do you need Murray to come and tell you? Anybody need Murray to come tell you what you're doing wrong? Okay, Murray, you can't do it, okay? What's our perception? What is our perspective in life? What do we realize that God is doing something? Hey, listen to this, because this will blow some people's mind, and I'm a personal testimony of it because it happened to me. Watch. You getting fired from your job might be the best thing that ever happened to you. Uh-oh, what are you saying, Pastor? Rebuke that spirit in Jesus' name. I'm just letting you know. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. What? I had a great job, making some great money right here in this town. And all of a sudden, I got fired. 1 month prior, I got a letter from the president of the company telling me how good of a job I was doing. About a month later, I can't remember now because it's like a long time ago. But he said, I got fired. And I was like, Lord, what are you doing? I can't believe it. I cried. I wept. I stopped here at the church. Brother Ryan was pastoring at the time. I think he was. I don't know. Maybe it was Ernie. I forget. I walked in the office and I'm crying. And I said, it was Brother Ryan that I talked to. I said, maybe it was Ernie. I don't know. Whoever the pastor was. I said, Pastor, I just lost my job. I got fired. And he's like, oh no. And I said, yeah. So we prayed. I said, all I need is some prayer. I know God's doing something. I just don't get it yet. I turned around. I walked out. I went home and I opened up a newspaper. When I got home, I started looking for the next job. Lord, you got something better in store for me anyway. Hallelujah. For the next, I'm going to just say 10 years because I don't know. I had about 5 jobs and none of them was sufficient for what I needed. But the Lord, I can, if you ever want to know my story, just come and talk to me one day and I'll tell you this whole story. But watch this. The Lord showed me something at this job. Then He taught me, and I left that job, went to another job. He showed me something else at another job. He showed me something else at another job. He showed me something. And then I got to this place where I became an associate pastor. And the very first day that I walked in the building, Ron told me I had to go pray for this elderly lady. You see, a long time ago, I called her an old lady. But now she's elderly. I went to go have to pray for this elderly lady. And Tyrone, knowing that I'm arrogant, I am very, like, don't want to be bothered with it. If it's not important to me, leave me alone. I would have went in there and said, lady, I'm here to pray for you. I said, Lord, help us. Amen. See you later, lady. Bye. But instead, the Lord had put compassion in my heart throughout the jobs. And I sat down and I let her talk for about an hour. I have no idea what she said. I mean, I remember when I was there, I was listening. And then all she wanted to do was tell me her story. So I listened to her story. And then I said, and then she looked at me and she goes, can you go ahead and pray with me so you can go ahead and get out of here? I said, yes, ma'am, let's pray. But you see, the old me would have been impatient. Would have wanted to go in and pray and get out. But because of the situations, the different jobs I had, the different how God brought me through, and I had to learn how to not be so arrogant, how to not be so impatient, how to have compassion, true compassion for people. You see, sometimes we don't have compassion. Sometimes we don't have love like we should. Sometimes we don't do what we know we're called to do because we have our life. We want to do it. I got some place to go this Friday. We're going out and having fun. Hallelujah. But what about if God changes your plan? What happens if you have a flat? God, I can't believe you made me have a flat. Don't you know what I had planned this Friday? We were going to go out and do it. And in the process of you having your flat, maybe somebody would stop that needed Jesus and helped you. And you would be like, wow, God, thank you for the help. Our perspective, how do we see things? Romans chapter 8 and 28 says, we know that all things, say all things. Whew, there's a thing. There's another word for somebody, because you think that God can only do some things, but I'm here to tell you, He can do. Yes, He can. All things. Huh. We know, say I know, that all things work together for good. See, sometimes we don't realize that God's working in us a new thing. And we're just hanging on to the old stuff. And the Lord says, I'm working on you. And I'm working on, and I'm trying to get you to see that I've got a new thing for you. Works together for good for those who love God. Say those. Are you part of those? So if you're part of those and God and you love God, then God's working in you and on you. Uh-oh. Do you need to know that we have to see that God is working in us through to us who love God, to us who love God, to those who love God, those who are called, say called. I'm stopping again. Oh, my goodness, because there's a bunch of people in here that truly don't understand that God, the Almighty, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the first and last, He who is behind us and before us and everlasting and eternal, that God, He called you by your name. He called you. And He's got a plan and a purpose and a destiny, and He's plotting it out, and He's setting you up, and He's bringing you through one thing after another, and you keep trying to figure out, what are you doing, God? And He's saying, I'm working you. I'm working on you. I'm getting the stuff out of you. How many of you know it's time for us to get some stuff off of our shoulders? It's time for us to get some stuff out of our lives. If we will repent and get things right, you know what? You won't be crying half as much. That's not true. You don't always cry. Especially as you get older, you get more emotional. Hallelujah. Those, say to those, are you those again who are called according to His purpose? We need a divine connection. We need a divine, there's a divine connection for a couple of people here today. God is saying, I'm ready to connect to you. Say connect. I'm ready to have a divine, wow. We need a divine understanding. You need to just stop, say stop. Okay, this one's for you. Say, look at your neighbor and say, stop. Come on, look them right in the face and say, stop. Just stop for a minute and ask God, what are you doing, God? God, what are you doing? Ask Him. If you're not realized that your knower's broke, you got to ask God and say, God, I need some help. We see the whole world's messed up in the natural, but we know God is working on us. A new thing. Say me. Our perspective. We see so many things. How many of you are older? You're older now? I ain't going to say that. That's going to get me in trouble. You're older, though. And you've seen some things. You've seen and experienced some things in life. Watch this. How many of you have seen a hurricane? How many of y'all seen fires in California? How many of you have seen some political upheaval? How many of you have seen some personal disruptions? How many of you have seen some personal crises? How many of you know that it's just the kind of things that just keep going wrong? Have you seen some? How many of you know, have you had some bad relationships in your life? How many of you had some financial struggles? And everybody said, struggles, that's a new word. Struggles. Have you had it? Say amen. You've seen some stuff. You know that's going that God is working in all of these things. I know what happens in the midst of. Do you know what happens in the midst of upheaval in your life? God's working. So when you're in distress, when you're discouraged, when you're frustrated, when things are going bad, say, thank you, Jesus. Uh-oh, how can you possibly say thank you, Jesus? Because when you know, say, my knower's fixed. You see, when our knower's fixed, we see that when we're in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the problems, in the midst of the conflict, and everything's going bad, that means we got a lot of cleaning we just happened to have went through. God's cleaning out. He's cleaning the house. The Word says that He starts first in the body. He starts first in the house of God. He's cleaning some things up. When you're going through all of this stuff, that's why the Word says rejoice. What? How can you rejoice? Because you know God's working. He's working a new thing. He's working on you. Man, it's a great thing to have God work on you, ain't it? Oh, some of y'all. You know that when you're getting worked on, it's not pleasant. It's not fun. But you can rejoice through it. Have you been through some stuff? Have you gone? Are you realizing now what your knower has been broke? And because of your knower being broke, you looked at it as, God, you don't love me no more. That's just the opposite. You see how the devil lies to you? When things are going bad and you're struggling, that's because God's working on you and the devil can't stand it. So he's trying to make you look at it with a different perspective to try to corrupt your mind thinking. The way you think it, the way you perceive it, oh my goodness. So when the enemy comes in and lies to you, do you know he's the liar? Do you know he's the father of lies? Do you know if he's lied to you, then the opposite is true. You're no good. Hallelujah. Do you see what the Scripture says about realizing when we can rejoice in the hard things and the hard times? Do you realize that our perspective has been warped and twisted? And we have been taught that, well, if you're going through bad things, like Job's friends told him, you must be doing something wrong. How many of you know God's working on Job? How many of you know God's working on you? Say amen. Can you tell the Lord to leave you alone? Don't say that. How many of you watch this? How many of you been asking God for help? Anybody here been asking God for help? That's why you're going through problems. He's working it out for you. He's trying to work on you. You're thinking, oh God, I need help. So next time I say, how many of y'all want some help? You're going to go, not me, Lord. I don't want any help. Huh? Don't help me anymore, God. I had enough help. Hallelujah. Go back to the beginning. I can't take it anymore. Oh my. God's working on us. God allows our lives to be interrupted with a piece of Jesus that'll give us a way out. God's shaking things up in your life. You're wondering what's going on. God is working on you. By the way, it's usually not pleasant when God's working on you. It's very unusual. You know, when people are running around going, hallelujah, Jesus is wonderful, hallelujah. They're not struggling. They're not having problems. Or they learn, or their knower is fixed. And they realize that, you know what, while I'm going through the midst of this, God's working on me. That's why Jesus said, nevertheless, Lord, not my will be done. Lord, I don't want to drink this cup. Lord, I don't want to be nailed on the cross. Lord, I don't want to be punched out. How many of you ready for some punching out? We got about three people that's ready to vent, you know. How many of you know that Jesus took all that and he said, Lord, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. Watch this. Luke chapter 21:28 says, now when these things begin to happen, how many of you have been having these a few things begin to happen? And what does the word say right there? It says now. Say now. Now, today, today. Say today. Now, when these things begin to happen, if you're having troubles, it's now, it's today. Look up. Look unto Jesus. He is the lifter of your head. Lift up your head. Don't be, well, I'm just going to go through this because God's working on me. Glory to God. Lift up your head and give God glory. Lift up your head. Don't be a murmurer. Don't realize that when we don't, you know, even just when you hear people whine, it sounds nasty, don't it? Well, I ain't going old. You ever notice they always got to have a whining sound? Well, I just don't know what God's doing. He's working on me and I just kind of hate him. Sounds terrible, don't it? Sometimes I don't want to look at them and say, quit whining. Look, lift up your head. Watch this. Because your redemption draws near. Your improvement draws near. Your Redeemer. Do you know that you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Do you know that the blood brought you into His presence? Through His blood, the Redeemer, Jesus, your redemption, my Redeemer, draws near each and every day. If we'll run after Him. Word says it like this: if you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. Do you know God wants us to start drawing closer to Him? Oh, it's easy to see God's provision when your bank account's full, or if you're just not in the red. Oh, it's easy to see God as your provider when your refrigerator's full. Oh, it's easy to see God as your provider or your healer when you're not sick. But what about when you are sick and He pulls you through it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Oh, just lift up both hands. Say, Lord, pull me through. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's easy to see it. Oh, we got to get our broken knower fixed. We need to see that God is our healer. Change your perspective, the way we see things. Romans chapter 8 and 26 through 30 says it like this. Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness. Do you know you're weak sometimes? The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know. I'm going to slow down right there because the Lord told me to say that to somebody. We do not know. Because we do not know. If you don't know, then repent. Ask God to help you fix your knower. Because there's a knower in our spiritual man that gives us the insight to know that God's in control. He's going to bring you through this too. He is a faithful and just God. He will bring you through the worst times and He'll set your feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus, and He will see you through it. Say, see me through, Lord. Do you not know? Do we not know that we should pray? That we should pray. We do not know how to pray sometimes as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groans that cannot be uttered. Do you know Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, sits at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for us? He's praying. He's praying. Come on! You can do it! Excuse me. I'm getting a little excited. I'm starting to scratch my throat up. He's saying, come on, Jerry, we can do this. You see, you notice what I just said? We can do this. See, because Jesus wants to work with you. He's not going to leave you out there alone. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm the only one. There was a prophet that thought that. And then he said, there's 7,000 that hasn't bowed the knee. Sometimes we can get religious and think that we're the only ones. I'm the only one, Lord. And he says, wait a minute. I got a lot of folks that I love and that I'm working on. You just don't see what I'm doing. How many of you know God don't reveal everything to you? Say me. He don't reveal everything. He's interceding for us with groans that can't be uttered. Now, He who searches the heart. How many of you know He looks at what? Our heart. Knows what the mind of the Spirit is because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Not according to the will of Bob. Not according to the will of Murray. But not according to your will, but according to the will of God. And if we will straighten our life up and get it in line with God, I say this many times in relationships. I see marriages falling apart and they're wondering, why? What happened? Why? I'm here to tell you specifically, it's about this relationship that's corrupted. Because when this relationship is right, these work. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? This relationship's got to be right. If it's not, you're going to have problems. Now, it takes two, say two. It takes two with any relationship. If somebody else's relationship ain't right with God, Word says to wipe your feet and move on. Say, move on. You see, sometimes we stay and struggle and try to make something work when somebody don't want Jesus. Oh my goodness. You're trying to make something happen. Don't try to make it happen. Wait on God. Wait. Say wait. Wait on God. Know that the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We know We know, say no. Do we know? Do we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose? Listen, have you ever heard how much time I got? I'm out of time. Uh-oh. I'm going to tell a story real quick and then it'll be the end, okay? Y'all give me a few more minutes. All right, here we go. This is for all those that wait, that said, go ahead, Pastor. For those who want to leave, go ahead. I'll just go ahead and preach to the ones that want to stay. Anyway, the Bible says in the book of Exodus, I mean, have you ever read the story of the book of Exodus? That's where the Israelites got delivered and set free. How many of you know after they got set free, they had some problems? How many of you are set free today? Amen? Guess what? Today. My teeth must be falling out. Tomorrow, the next day, every day, you're still going to have some problems. They're coming. They're coming. How many of you know you got some problems coming? That's okay. Rest in it and rejoice in it. Watch it. The book of Exodus, the Bible said God led them free. And God led them into the wilderness. And then they all, hallelujah, we're free. Oh, I'm free indeed. All this wonderful stuff. And then they get out there and they're running into the Red Sea. Boom. Holy moly, Moses. Where are we going? The army's coming. They're going to kill us. How many of you know God has a way where there seems to be no way? You see, y'all know the story and you know the end of here. So you're already perceiving in your mind, okay, well, it's going to be okay because God's going to open the Red Sea and make a way. But you don't see Him making a way for you. What? You don't see Him opening the Red Sea for you? You didn't see that? You see, you already know the story, so you know God's going to do it. Do you know? Say no. Is your knower fixed or is it broke? If you know God's going to make a way where there seems to be no way, when you come up to that hard spot, you walk in and all of a sudden, boom, what the heck was that? God says, wait just a minute. I got something I'm doing. Watch. Watch the miraculous salvation of our God and Savior. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. He opened the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. Not even sloppy, wet yard like yours is right now. God led them into an impossible, what? An impossible escape route. But He opened up the Red Sea. Ah, do we know that God's working inside of us? Guess what? We know that God will make a way. When we know that God will make a way. When we know that, you know what? This too shall come to pass. When we're on the other side, oh my goodness. Do you know that after they got to the other side, they still had some situations to go through? Another one? How many of you have been through situation after situation after situation? Come on. You've been through a few? You're going to go through some more? That's okay. God's going to open up the same way. He works in mysterious ways, in ways that you can't even imagine. He's opening doors right now. He already knows when you need a fish to swallow you. The word says it like this. Go back and read it with, what's his name? He got thrown overboard and swallowed by the whale? I'm just checking. Jonah. If you go back and read the scriptures, this is what it says. God prepared a fish. That means He knew that Jonah was going to have to get thrown over, swallowed, and spit back up. He knows. He's already got a fish prepared for you to swallow. He's got He's got everything in line to get you right to where you need to be. God knows what door you need opened. The Israelites needed the Red Sea. God has a plan. This is the question. Will we follow His plan? Oh, my goodness. I really wanted to sing this song. I really, really, truly was looking on YouTube and trying to find a good, upbeat version of it. And one that would be encouraging. But it was just really fast, most of them that I listened to. So I wanted to slow it down. And because I want to sing, I can't, but I really want to. Going to sing this song for you. You ready? Now, in Exodus 15, if you'll go back and read that, the children of Israel came out singing. When they came out the other side of the Red Sea, the word of the Lord. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang the song to the Lord. It's time for you, say me, to start singing your new song. You got a new song that's inside of your heart that God wants to hear you sing. This is what mine sounds like because it's one that's already written right here. And they spoke and said these things. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song has now become my victory. For the Lord is God and I will praise him. My Father is God and I will exalt him. The Lord is God and I will praise him. My Father is God and I will exalt him. Oh, my goodness. I'm here to tell you. If it wouldn't have been for Bob, you wouldn't have had to listen to that. No. You need to sing your song. You need to sing your song. I will sing unto the Lord a new song. I will sing to the Lord a new song. If you're ready to sing to the Lord a new song, please stand to your feet. I'm not going to ask you to sing. I just want to pray for you that the Lord will give you insight. He'll give you eyes to see and ears to hear. The Lord's going to speak to your heart if you will cry out and ask him, Lord, I want to sing a new song to you, O Father. If that's you, raise both your hands because I want to pray for you. Father, today, Lord, we want to sing a new song to you, O God. Lord, we want new understanding, new revelation, new experiences in life, O God. And Lord, when the enemy comes in, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it because we're not going to worry. We know that while he's working and he's trying to do something and he's trying to corrupt us and he's trying to kill us and steal us and destroy our joy. Lord, we know because our knower is fixed. Lord, we know that you're working in us. You're working on us. You're bringing us through this stuff. We give you glory and honor and praise, Lord. Oh, I don't thank you for the problems, Lord, but I thank you through them. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. Tell somebody.